Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We come your way Sundays at 7 a.m. and p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., and we stream live at richarddugan.com. We are also archived at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and we encourage you to go to the website and see what's there. And also, we link to our guests, so we certainly encourage you to check out the programs that we have available for you. And I mean, it's exciting. I honestly have to say that it is a lot of fun doing these programs, and we encourage you to take part. This is a program that we're going to be devoting to 2017, taking a look at what's up, what's coming. Now, I will let you know that this program was originally recorded, or I should say was recorded, back in August of 2016. The only difference in our conversation might be who was elected on November 8th of 2016, but that will be very interesting to see how things have unfolded. And with me on the phones, I'm very excited to have back for return visit. We've had him on a number of times, and I've always enjoyed talking with this gentleman because he has a perspective. Now, he has a perspective similar to that. He's a Vedic astrologer. No, it is not David Hawthorne. It is Jagadish Maheshri, and we want to thank you so much for joining us on the program and being a part of Tell Me Your Story here as we take a look at 2017.
Good to be here.
You know, it is a little perplexing for a lot of folks when we do either a retrospective or we're not exactly doing predictions here. As I've often said when talking about Vedic astrology, because it's science-based, this is not intuition and anything really ethereal, we're talking about a roadmap, getting from point A to point B, as it were, but what are the conditions between point A and point B that you may encounter? If you're going to take a trip, for example, across the country and you have a roadmap. All right, wonderful. The roadmap tells you the cities, the towns, and so forth that you're going to run into. But what are the weather conditions? What are the gas prices, food and lodging, and so on and so on and so on? And those are the kinds of things that we don't know about, but Vedic astrology helps us to at least prepare. And I think that's extremely important for us to do. I've always, in producing other programs on this station that talk about preparedness, not if, but when. Well, going from point A to point B is what's going to happen. All right. Well, how can we prepare for those kinds of things? Well, what kinds of things are going to happen? And how can we prepare and maybe protect ourselves? And there are a lot of different methods. So I know that, and you've also written a book. You have a book that is available for our listeners as well. Yeah, they can purchase through your website, or I'm sure at Amazon as well. What is the title of that? And it has to do with learning about Vedic astrology.
The book's title is It's All in Timing.
Mm-hmm.
And this book is basically the starting point for those who want to learn Vedic astrology. And so it has a lot of reference material as well as the unique methodology I use in interpreting a Vedic chart.
I know that when I read your newsletter and you talk about, the various planetary situations, and I know about Rahu and Ketu, I hate hearing about them because usually it's bad news, in a manner of speaking, It's usually thunderstorms and earthquakes. But but by the same token, sometimes when Rahu and Ketu are mentioned, they're benefic influences and so forth.
They can be positive, right.
Yeah, but it just seems like a lot of times it's the other way around. So what we want to do here, and here we are in the latter part of the summer months as we are conversing here, and people are going, well, why did you do this now? Well, the reason that I chose to do this now rather than putting it off is because I thought it would be very interesting to go back when this program is actually airing. And by the way, this is actually going to be airing on Christmas Day, So this is a Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
But that's the date, Sunday, December 25th. Thought about doing it on January 1st, but of 2017. But I thought it would be good to kind of have that sort of in front of us and see what happens. And so what I would like to do is let's do a little retrospective from the point of from the reference point of December 31st, 2016, looking back a little bit, as far as what the Vedic astrological chart shows for, and again, you're going to have to correct me if I'm going in a direction that is not one that we want to go in, but looking at the United States in particular, obviously we cannot predict, this is not about predicting who will be the next president, but you mentioned something interesting off air that even though it will tell us what's going to, you know, how we're going to, or not how, but that we're going to go from point A to point B. And we can define those. We just don't know the exact path, depending upon who might be elected. And so many things are going on with these candidates and with their campaigns and with the things that are being said and the influences on the public. Who knows about foreign influences? I mean, we've already seen a couple of situations where I was watching a movie not too long ago where it was a Venezuelan election. And apparently a U.S. government official in the news said that if the Venezuelan people don't vote for so-and-so, then the United States will do this. You know, those kinds of influences from abroad towards the U.S. election. You know, if Trump is elected, this is what's going to happen. And if Hillary is elected, this is what's going to happen. You know, I just often wonder sometimes about how voters are influenced. But can we talk a little bit about the 5 months, August, September, October, November, December of 2016, and what the charts show us about that period in time?
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, I think the most important thing that happened this year was when Uranus entered Aries. Uranus is the planet, in my opinion, which exhibits the characteristics which are very similar to the US characteristics. And so, and you know, so I always pay attention to Uranus when it comes to, you know, envision the possibilities in as far as the US is concerned on the world scene. And from that point of view, Uranus entering the Aries, the day it entered the Aries, I believe it was June 24th or something, you know, the Brexit happened, you know, the British disconnected, I mean, at least the British people voted for distancing from the European Union. What it means is the quality of that Uranus to be independent, just totally independent. That's the basic characteristic for Uranus. And so, you know, we had that the beginning when it entered Aries, and we had that event. So it entered Aries, it's going to stay in Aries till September 4th. So the drama that we have been watching, you know, since then, especially, you know, with respect to Donald Trump's and his everyday tweets and how it creates the excitement and sensations every day, probably I would say every few hours, is really due to that entry of Uranus in Aries. Now, what's going to happen is this Uranus is going to become retrograde, and it's going to go back in Pisces, where it was for the last 7 years, just for a short time, from September 4th to April 6th. So this is the where, all of a sudden, you know, September 4th is one of the, what I call the inflection point in terms of what's going on, you know, in terms of events in the United States. And so we might see a reversal of the events on that day. But before that, what happens is when I look at the Trump's chart, you know, all these, you know, Trump's chart, you know, for the, as far as the US is concerned, the Uranus is most important. And the planets which represents country, when it's come in contact with the lunar nodes, In Vedic astrology, those are called as Rahu and Ketu. In Western astrology, those are called as North Node and South Node. But these lunar nodes, they play a very important role in terms of the manifestation of the events. So what's going to happen is so when I look at the Trump's chart, so it's very clear in the chart that Rahu conjuncts Uranus. So Uranus is the planet of this country. Rahu and Ketu is his own destiny. So there is the possibility that destiny of America, or United States rather, is connected with the destiny of Trump. And it's no wonder that he is where he is now, because it's the part of the destiny. You have to look at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Trump is just an excuse, just a vehicle for this, you know, the force of destiny that's moving this country. And so he has become one of the players in shaping the future destiny of this country. Given that, now the Rahu Ketu are, because these are karmic planets as far as the Trump is concerned, and they, you know, and if you look at his characteristics, it's tremendous. You know, Uranus is independent, and add to that Rahu's, you know, the passion, ambition, and selfishness, and self-centeredness, and ego. You have Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so this is what's going on, and so. But what's going to happen is come September. And so Uranus is in Aries. Uranus loves Aries because Aries is a fire sign. It's just perfect sign for Uranus to, you know, carry out its agenda. It's just wonderful. When it goes back to the Pisces, which is last 7 years, it's more of compassion, humanity, and all that. That's what we've seen in the last 7 years. Now it's a little different. So what's going to happen? What are the possibilities here is Uranus actually is going to go in Aries and stay there until after April of next year. So what's going to happen is between September 4 through April 6th of next year, it's like we just have a total reversal of what's going on, Rob. It's possible. And so it all depends. The upcoming the solar eclipse on the September 1st. The reason I'm talking of eclipse is Mr. Trump was born a few hours prior to the eclipse. And so eclipse has an important influence on his, his unfolding as a, you know, as his destiny unfolds his activities.
Right.
Has an influence on it. And so what's going to happen is, that's the critical date. And so that date, and then after September 4th, I think he is okay. So I think those are the things. I don't know how this is going to manifest. But after September 4th, then Trump has, if he survives, I would say the date I would, talking about is October 7th. That's when his one of his dasha changes. But the point I'm trying to make is, regardless whoever comes, but as far as Trump is concerned, if he makes it till October 7th, then we may have Trump as a president.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Hillary goes, I haven't really analyzed, you know, both charts and compared yet. I don't know, you know, what are the possibilities there.
Sure.
But the important point is, come April of next year, then Uranus comes back in, and Uranus loves to make changes. That's the, you know, that's the quality of the Uranus. It loves changes. So I wouldn't be surprised. Whatever the, you know, the situation is, political situation is, you know, come April 1st, say April 1st of 2017, it's going to be changed, like, you know, as we go into that April month. And maybe April, May, it may take, you know, few weeks before we really see the change. And so I wouldn't be surprised. This is, I'm not making the prediction, but this is just the product, my possibilities, mm-hmm. that we may have a totally different president.
Yeah, I have to say that two things came to mind as I'm listening to you. And number one is that all of this has nothing to do with the people and their feelings, their thoughts, their influences I mentioned earlier. This has to do with, if I can put it in a simplistic format, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And it's a very scientific method. The other thought that occurred to me, when you think about families that have had presidents, and especially families that have had multiple family members in high political office, whether it be the presidency or otherwise, I mean, you think about a lot of these dynasties like the Rockefellers or the Kennedys, and of course the Bushes and of course the Clintons, obviously they're trying to sort of create a dynasty of sorts.
Yeah.
And you've had these different names and these different strengths, and it's almost as if some of the children were born, in a manner of speaking, and bred for the role of that office, be it the presidency or, again, some other high office. I haven't heard an awful lot about Donald Trump's background, his history, if you will, and his family's history. The most I know about his family is his father gave him $1 million to get started. And that's about as much as I know about his ancestry, if you will. But they haven't talked much about anything more. But it is really very interesting to speculate as to the personage. But again, you've stated rather clearly that it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference who the president is, that the path that we will end, the destination that we're going to end up at, for example, I think you said April 1st or April 6th of 2017, yeah, in a manner of speaking, no matter whether it's Hillary or Donald, we're going to end up at the same spot, in a manner of speaking, come April 6th of 2017. Am I reading that correctly?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Same spot. Now, the question is, what are the events? I don't know. There are so many possibilities,
sure,
and it's really no point in thinking. Only thing I can think of is the changes in offing in April, month of April of next year.
Right.
So then we have following six or seven years, the Uranus stays in Aries. I would expect, there are three parts of that, those 6-7 years. The first 1/3 of that is a lot of changes, but they are positive changes. Absolutely, those changes are positive. The middle part is kind of building. We have the changes, now you build. And the last third part of that 7 years is enjoy the fruits of that building. So I'm very, very optimistic about what's going to happen. But it's going to be, some people might see it a painful way, some might see it a revolutionary way, some might see it in a chaotic way, whatever it is. But this is the period of transition. That's the way I see it. From now till the April of next year, we are going through a period of transition, a lot of confusion. And it's really, if when I look at these two candidates, it's not really the two candidates. It's two large groups of people, mm-hmm, which represent this country, which are driving this.
Is it maybe even defining it a little bit further, putting a finer point on it, that it's almost two ideologically opposed consciousness.
Absolutely. I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, somebody has actually defined it in this fashion, that you have the masculine and the feminine. And we're not talking about male and female, right, here. We're talking about energies, yin and yang, if you will.
Yeah.
And that we are in a transitional period between the very strong masculine energies that have been dominating for centuries, and we're now shifting towards a more feminine. Now, some would say, well, then that would mean that Hillary would be elected. Well, yes and no, because even though she is a female, she tends to exhibit the more masculine energy. And someone explained it this way. They said that when she first got into politics, she had to, because if she didn't, they wouldn't take her seriously. And she's maintained that strong masculine energy, if you will. And it has been said that she is going to be, again, should she be elected, she is going to be the bridge, if you will, between the two energies, from the masculine to the feminine. Whereas Donald Trump, he's just all masculine. There is no feminine energy there. That I can see. And it is two, I don't want to say diametrically opposed, because they work, they have to work together. You don't get rid of one of them. You're going to have the ebb and the flow.
They have to be together.
Yeah, they have to. It's like that beautiful, is it a Chinese symbol, the yin and the yang, black and the white? Yeah.
When we have the balance, perfect balance, then we have the abundance of positiveness.
Yeah.
And when there is a imbalance, the abundance of negativeness. Mm. And so that's what happens. But we both needs to be together, you know, to have that concert.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. And yet at the same, you know, we keep hearing this whole business of fear versus love. And, you know, we've got to conquer fear with love. And the reality is that we've got to find a balance.
Yes.
And yet, we're continually bombarded in the media with the conflict, with the drama, if you will, or the dynamics of love over fear, instead of finding a way to coexist. And we even hear that when it comes to meditation. You know, that you've got to quiet your mind. You've got to tell it to shut up. You know, almost go away. But it's part of who and what we are. And so there has to be a way to, as I've heard it said, to incorporate, to bring it into the fold, so to speak, saying make it a part of your meditation, if you will. How you do that, that's subject for another program. But I think you're absolutely right in that context. And so it's going to be very interesting. So before we take our first break here, I wanted to ask you this, and forgive me if I don't want to cross any lines here, and I've never asked you this before, but I'm just out of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Were you born here in the United States?
No, I was born in India.
And are you a naturalized citizen?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so you...
I became naturalized in 86.
In 86. So you have, for 30 years,
you've
been a U.S. citizen. And wonderful. And I'm curious... when you take a look at what you've just described to us, how does that make you feel in that context of being you chose to be a citizen of this country? I didn't choose it. I was born here, and maybe there's a detriment in that regard, because maybe I don't take it quite as seriously as those who actually made the conscious choice. But I'm curious, what is your perspective? What are your feelings on these ongoing events and so forth? The personalities and the specific details of the tweets and this and that and the other aside, your feelings in that regard?
Feelings about the candidates or feelings about the country?
The country.
Oh, the country. Oh, I think this is absolutely wonderful country. Sometimes I wonder if I live in the country or am I living in the world? Because I feel like I'm living in the world here. I can see everything from here. And I have a total freedom of do whatever I want to, which I'm not so sure, you know, any other country might offer.
Mm.
Yeah. Because, it's just my intellect will be well nourished here. Because there are so many possibilities. And so many opportunities. And so that allows me to do what I want to do. And, I'm a chemical engineer, but now I love this so much. This is my joy.
Well, I'm quite thankful that you are with us here on the program today, and I encourage people to check out your website, which, by the way, folks, is astroinsight.com. That's astroinsight.com. Also, I would highly recommend that you get a copy of, I have my copy, It's All in Timing. Jagadish Maharishi is my guest, a PhD, and we encourage you to investigate the website, investigate the information. Sometimes when you go through this process of researching information, It can be overwhelming, and that's one of the nice things about being able to go back and re-listen to these programs is you listen to them as many times as you want and continue to glean more and more information, because sometimes it's like, oh, I missed that. I forgot. I didn't realize he said that. Oh, how? I still remember, too, an experience I had, Jagadish, where my parents mailed out their last will and testament to all of the family members who were involved. I remember reading it and thinking, hey, great. You know, I mean, it's their stuff. They can do whatever they want with it. And, you know, whether I get something or not is irrelevant because they've given me so much over the years that's intangible. Yeah. And then I remember one morning I woke up and going, gee, I wonder why they left me out of this, that, or the other thing. And I thought about making a phone call and saying, why did you guys leave me out of this, that, or the other thing? I thought, no, don't go there because you'll create problems. I thought, well, I'll call one of my sisters. She'll know. They'll know. And then I thought, no, you know what? The better course of action, why don't you get the document and reread it? And so I did. At 4 o'clock in the morning, one morning, I woke up and I went into the other room and I found the document and I reread it. I'm going, I wasn't left out of anything. I don't know what the heck I was thinking. And that's one of the things about the mind that can just, you know, play with you.
Yeah.
And so when you listen to this program and you hear what Jagadish has to say about the process that we are going through or have gone through here in 2016 and into 2017, and you didn't quite understand it, then go back and listen to it again. If you have to listen to it 10 times, go for it. Download it and listen to it. Go to his website and get more information. Matter of fact, you even have a page on your website that actually focuses, if I'm not mistaken, on Donald Trump in particular. And as you say, you haven't done the analysis. Hillary Clinton information yet, but that'll be coming. That'll be available as well. But again, it's All in Time is the title of the book. And my guest is Jagadish C. Mushri, and he is a PhD. And we encourage you to go to his website, which is astroinsight.com, as well as checking out the book. It's All in Time. I have to say that when I listen to you or I listen to David Hawthorne, who is also a Vedic astrologer we've had on a number of times as well, sometimes it's a little confusing, even for me. And I've been interviewing about Vedic astrology for 15 or 20 years now, and I'm still trying to understand it. But I appreciate yours as well as David's, your willingness to give us a further explanation as we move forward, whether we understand all of the terminology or not. And again, what I do enjoy is the fact that, number one, you're not predicting anything. But number two, again, you're laying out that roadmap for us. And as we said in the first segment, or as you said, going from point A to point B, no matter who is elected to the White House or Congress or what have you, we're going to be at point B in April. And I'm curious, after April, through the rest of 2017, what else? You talked about the next 7 years after that are actually going to be some good years. Doesn't mean that that person's going to be reelected per se, but just that things are really going to start to shift. It sounds to me like the consciousness of the country, let alone the world, it sounds like it's going to start to come into its own, so to speak, and we're going to start creating things that are really genuinely beneficial to us as a species, as a people.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about the rest of 2017?
Absolutely. 2017 with Uranus in Aries after April, we're looking at basically the new actors, you know, taking part in this play, in this drama at a tremendous speed. So you are looking, but at the same time, a lot of confusion and chaos in the beginning. And so it's going to be, I think, I'd say not until we reach towards the end of 2017, things will get settled. Maybe it might take the end of 2017 before it gets settled. But I'm very, very excited and optimistic about the future this Uranus is going to bring as it really well, you know, anchored in the sign Aries, ruled by Mars. Yes, we, that doesn't mean, you know, we won't be leading the world with the peace, with the compassion, with the love. No, it's just that the mode would be different. The mode that we had and the mode we're going to have would be different. But it will take some churning in the first, I would say, in April through October, November period, churning in deciding how we want to go collectively, how we want to go forward. And so I see, I don't know exactly, I'm not going to, I don't know exactly who would be the leading this charge. I have no idea, because we wouldn't know that until we hit April. So I don't know, but one thing I know, as we go into towards the end of 2017, we will settle down in whatever we are, you know, settle down in terms of our goal as a country moving forward. And I think we are going, you know, we will be doing just fine. Collectively, we'll be doing just fine. I hope to see, this is my hope, this personal thing, that there will be less division, but there might be, you know, we may continue to have the division in this country, but there will be more dialogue.
You know, one of the descriptions of one of my guests back in 2007 or 2008 used the analogy of the birthing of a child and the period of 9 months gestation, as well as going through labor and then the delivery. All of that is considered to be rather chaotic and tumultuous and painful. Okay. And very dramatic.
Yeah.
And then the child comes out and there's the cry and everything kind of settles down. And that is sort of the way it's been described. What we're going through are the birth pangs of transition and of change.
That's a good analogy. Absolutely, yeah.
And that if we can, as a people, if we can look at it from that perspective, and I love the fact that you're telling us that from your perspective and from the chart, that things are looking good, you know, that there's a sense of there's a good place there for people to have optimism and so forth for the future.
Absolutely. You know, if you look at the history of this country, yes, there are ups and then there are downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. And that's how we go. We find new, frontiers, then we move forward, then we run into crisis, and then we resolve those crises and move forward and on and on and on. I remember, who was that? Joe Biden, he mentioned that, you know, he passed down and then he got up. You know, I don't know his phrase was, you know, get up on your feet, get up on your feet. It's the same idea. This is the Uranus. This is how it, you know, it manifests.
Hmm. I want to go back a little bit and talk about you a little bit more. And I'd like to find out a little bit more about your connection with Vedic astrology. How did that come about? Is this something that you've just been associated with, if you will, since early childhood, or is this something that developed over a period of time when you were in school? What were the events or catalysts, if you will, that led you to become, if you will, a Vedic astrologer?
Well, I would say it's by chance. I never had a plan to become a Vedic astrologer. It happened when I was in my first, you know, early college years back in India, and I happened to attend, reluctantly attend a lecture of a well-known astrologer, and I had no interest, it was my uncle who took me over there, because he promised me that he would treat me with a lavish supper later. And so with that, okay, all right, I will go. And what I heard there at that point in time, and I still look back, that, you know, I was, you know, in the first or second year of my college, you know, engineering college, and it's a scientific background, and whatever I heard just didn't make sense to me. And what I realized there is that I felt that at that moment, that he was playing on people's emotions, and that's not right. And so I felt that, let me look at this. Is there any science in it? And so I started with the point of view of disproving it. And look what happens. 50 years later, I'm here. So that's the reversal. But took me 2 or 3 years to prove it wrong. I mean, there are certain things I did prove it wrong, but at the same time, I noticed that this has been a neglected piece of science in our world. People, the reason is you cannot make a living on with this. Mm-hmm. It's not a recognized science, so it's not, you know, it's not, you know, and it's not developed. And the people who are involved in it, perhaps they couldn't become doctor or engineers, so they had no other way to go there, and so they do not have a scientific mind to look at it. And so to me, I felt like someone has to do it. And so I felt like I need to do this. And so I was in the background. Then I spent next 20, 30 years because I had to raise my family and kids. So I was doing it on the side until, I think, 1999, I became a full-time astrologer then. So this was my journey.
Now, you have certainly looked at your own chart. And did you see in your chart the progression in that regard that you talk about? You say you came along to disprove it and ended up 50 years later proving it. But when you look at your own chart, you can see where those moments where, that's where the transition took place, this is what happened, and so forth. And then your chart actually proved that this is what you were going to do, in a manner of speaking.
Well, it doesn't, you know, prove in like a concrete way.
Sure.
But you see the trend there. You see the changes, as I become more and more aware. The way I used to look at astrology then, and the way I'm looking at astrology now, the way I was looking at astrology 20 years ago and now, is tremendously different. I use the astrology as a guidance more than, you know, anything else, you know, just as a guy. It just gives the how this flow of energy is going to manifest, you know, that's how I look at it. And yes, depends on the chart, what's called in Sanskrit, prarabdha and purusharta, meaning the destiny, the force of destiny, and the force of your own will. It's a combination of these two things. And so it all depends on the chart. Some people have 90% destiny and 10% efforts, and vice versa. And so once you understand that, it really doesn't matter, you know, what are the, what you're going to become, what are your, it's not the process of becoming, it's the process of understanding. It's so immediately unburdens you from the prejudices with which we view the world. Immediately does that, because it really doesn't matter what's the outcome is. Its outcome is not more important than the, you know, having to go through that process and enjoying it. And so given that, then I understood one thing. I fully understood that there is no chart in whole wide world is worse than any other chart of any other person's. So what it means is there is something unique in every chart which no one has it. And the challenge to us, challenge to astrologer is to figure that out and let the person who chart that astrologer is working on, let the person know that. And so it kind of gives that. And so it's really you know, some people call it, oh, what's my purpose in my life? Well, that's kind of a heavy word. But just given the strengths, you know, and aptitudes of a given, you know, person in a, you know, that's reflected in a chart, if the person knows it, it becomes easier. You still, person is still going to go in that direction. It just, the person becomes more aware until, you know, with the guidance, as opposed to person becomes aware later. That's the only difference.
Mm. I'm actually perusing your website, and I came across something real interesting, and that is the let me find the title of the period. It's the Indian calendar for 2016 in particular. And you go through month by month, and of course, if you live in the U.S., you live in the U.K., and so forth, and you have different significant dates, for example, for each part of the world that someone might be living in. Right. And I find that really interesting that, again, these are not predictions.
No,
all you're saying is that some significant events are going to happen based upon, what, say, an individual's chart? Or is how are these dates referenced?
Those are the festivals, dates of festivals.
I see.
They occur every year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just giving
And these are Indian festivals.
Yeah, Indian festivals, if you can call it. These are linked to the actual physical phenomena, which is the planets.
Mm.
They're directly linked with that. So, for example, full moon and the new moon. You know, every month we have full moon and new moon. So there is, so for every, for example, this is the month of Shravan in India.
Mm-hmm.
So the full moon would be the day which on that, you know, they call Raksha Bandhan, you know, the sister ties the, I don't know whether you heard the word Rakhi, it's the thread to brother's hand. And so there is some significance, those that day, you know, mm-hmm. that the full moon. And people offer the coconut to the ocean or, you know, the pond, you know, that those kind. So every month has some significance. And so people kind of remember that and they want to know when is that. And so I'm just facilitating that information.
Mm.
But then I found out that, okay, until, you know, the Indians left that country, you know, they were only certain, you know, every day, it was same everywhere. I mean, in India. But now you move here and then you go back. What is the basis for these festivals? And so what I did is I studied the basis. Then I found out that they can be at a different time because it all depends upon it. This instance in India is in the night, for example. And so at the sunrise time, you know, in India, in Indian calendar, the day doesn't begin at midnight. The day begins at the sunrise.
Mm.
So today is, for example, Wednesday. So Wednesday in Houston began at the sunrise in, you know, the place I'm living in. And so for you, it's like sunrise, you know. So
right.
That is the more important. That's when the Tuesday begins, and then the Wednesday begins, and the next day, Thursday, will begin tomorrow morning sunrise. Well, so when that happens, so that if you know, so that's how those days are linked. And so because these occur at any given time, we have day and night difference, so they fall on a different dates. Those festivals. And so that's why I'm linking those. I made the three different major divisions, US, UK, and India. And that pretty much covers the world.
Now, when I take a look at the physical chart, and it's made up of all of these, first of all, it's in a rectangular format. But you have these triangular shapes on the around the edges, as well as the center. You have these four squares. But it's set up like a diamond.
Diamond. It's the diamond shape.
Right, a diamond shape. And, of course, each one of the sections represents one of the 12 houses,
those are houses.
And so the first thing that one needs to do is to learn the names of, if you will, the 12 houses, which I would assume are the same in Eastern as Western. But then there are planets. Then there are planets.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say there are planets that are associated with each of the houses. And there are the various other attributes, again, that are associated. But then when you do someone's chart, all of this can shift and move. The houses don't shift and the planets don't shift, but the other attributes do in terms of that particular individual's birth date, place, and time.
Well, what you're looking at in that chart, either doesn't matter Western or Eastern, is the same thing. It's just a way of displaying the information, but information is the same. What you see there is at the time of the birth, if you step, if you step out in the open space, what you see actually, in the skies is represented in the chart. Exactly. And the, what you don't see, which is on the other side of the earth, is represented in the other half. For example, house 7 through 12 is what we actually see, what's a visible part of the, of the skies surrounding the earth. And the invisible part is from house number 1 to 6. So that's the invisible part. So if I have the sun in the 10th house, so I know I was born in the, or the person is born around noontime. And if the sun is in the 4th house, midnight, and so on and so forth.
I noticed that it goes around counterclockwise, the numbering of the sections.
Counterclockwise.
Yeah.
And it's really, if you look at the way the earth rotates around itself, and so we know that sun is fixed, its sun doesn't move. But because earth rotates, sun appears to be moving in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So the sun appears to move from east to west because the earth rotates from west to east.
Right.
Yeah, so that's how it's, that's how it is.
Yeah.
And so it's a more of a, the geometry, it's just what I call it, solid geometry. Once you understand that, it's just. And so those,
I was going to ask, in terms of the science, what is it in regards to the planets that this science is taking into consideration? Is it the magnetic polarities of these planets and their impact on Earth? What is it that the science is taking into consideration?
Okay, that's a very good question. It's a loaded question.
I didn't mean to load it. I won't point it at you.
Explain in few sentences.
Okay.
If I can. For example, let's take an example. Jupiter. The planet Jupiter, when it's in the 5th house, and assuming that it is not inflicted with other malefics, just, as an example. So the 5th house, Jupiter, typically gives good education, children, happiness. Then, as a science, when I saw that, how do I know? What is the connection? If someone asked me, can you prove that? Actually prove that? Well, because I don't have the resources to prove it. I have some ideas, theory, even how I might go about proving it. And so one of the ideas there is to measure, there was a lot of articles in the last 5 to 10 years. They actually measure the waves coming from each, planets coming to the Earth. And they have a distinct, what I call is amplitude and the periods. So if there is a difference of these waves, so each one has a unique characteristics. And we know that the planets do not have their own energy. There was the light, it's the sun's light reflected back to the Earth. But the way it's reflected can create a different wavelength and amplitude. And so would that generate different qualities in terms of the energy? That's what I would think. But then I thought that suppose if I look at the 1,000 charts, and if I, and then I can look at how many charts have the Jupiter in the 5th house. And let's just say there are 50 people have Jupiter in the 5th house. And then if I look at their actual, things in their life happening, and if they map, well, then it's a science to me. Just, giving a crude example.
Okay. Well, it does. But it is one of those things that's always kind of intrigued me because when I think about specifically, for some reason, it came up when I was talking with someone about Western astrology. And I thought, is this based upon, all of these different energies moving about because they're in constant motion, even though we don't perceive them moving per se, other than our own planet and we see the sun and da 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 da.
Right.
But the whole universe is in motion.
Yesterday.
And so that means that these energy patterns are constantly changing.
Absolutely.
But absolutely, they are constant at the moment of one's birth,
yes,
where they're born, when they're born, and so forth. And so you know, the thought occurred to me, well, if that's the case, okay, you have that specific energy pattern at the moment of birth, then I can see how that would then sort of give you
signature for that person.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So
each one has a unique signature.
Each one has and it can never be repeated. That was one of the fascinating things that I discovered. I was, I think, 7 or 8 years old, and I was sitting in Catholic Mass. And of course, I must have heard this somewhere very recently to that time, you know, that God is omnipresent and He knows all, He knows everything, right? And that He knows what you're going to do even before you do it. And so I blinked my eyes, and then my mind said, "Well, He knew you were going to do that." And then I blinked again. He knew you were going to do that. And so there was nothing that I could do that, as the story was being told, had been told to me, there was nothing I could do that wasn't already known. And it started to drive me a little crazy, because it was like, so I thought, if I blinked really fast, then I can blink twice, and it will be, the blinks will be identical. But then I began to think about the macrocosm, and thinking, and then I began to realize, no matter how fast you blink, in this case, because that's what I was working with, there was no way that those two blinks would be identical, because the universe is in constant motion. So nothing can ever be repeated. And that kind of goes to the one of the stories of the scientists who were conducting this experiment. And they kept coming up with a different result each time. And, of course, what they discovered more closely was that it wasn't the reason why the experiment kept coming out differently, the result was different, was because the scientists kept changing. They kept moving around, and one set of scientists were there. You know, you had 1 through 10, and 3 through 5 were there one day, and 6 through 9 were there the next day, and 1 through 4 and 2 through 7 were there the next day. And that's why the experiment kept coming out differently, because the energies kept changing specifically with the people that were there.
Yeah.
And it took a long time to discover that.
Yeah. That's in quantum mechanics, they call Heisenberg principle of uncertainty. So it's a wave function. In other words, everything is the wave function of a probability. But when that wave function collapses to a point, then becomes an event. Mm-hmm. So you always have these possibilities. And that's the beautiful part of the world. You know, we live, you know, in this world we live in, it's just that we are so blessed to be part of this world. And so every moment is a wonderful, you know, journey. But the thing is, the reality, you know, what we call a reality, it's when that wave, there are so many possibilities. Okay, what's going to happen to me today? If I do not have any, if I have total open mind, I'm total open, then my day is going to be just wonderful, because that probability function gives me all those possibilities. But then when I'm totally alert, and I'm looking at the day, the possibility, you know, when it turns into probability, when that probability function collapses to a point, that moment gives me that, you know, the understanding of, you know, whatever I'm doing at that moment. So the understanding doesn't happen continuously. It happens from, you know, it's like a quantum, from the ship, from one ship to the other ship. It may happen from one day to the, you know, a month later, some moment, and everything else is a void. But if you keep it open-minded, we have more points of those. And that's the idea behind, you know, discovering yourself, you know, the moment of joy, you know, understanding, not, you know, it's the understanding. And understanding is really directly related to the joy, if you're open-minded.
So let me ask you something. Does the fact that the universe is in constant motion have anything to do with, I've already understood the fact that the universe is in a particular position at the moment of a person's birth, and that's what Vedic astrology takes into consideration. Yeah. But because the universe is in constant motion, on the macro as well as the micro level, does that have anything to do with the outcome of a given chart? Let's say you were to define the birth of a country, let alone a birth of an individual. The chart, if you were to chart someone's life, let's just say for the sake of argument, someone's born and you charted out 100, can you chart it out 100 years?
Yeah, I mean, one can, absolutely. The thing is, the moment of the birth gives the signature, starting point. Everyone has a different starting point. So at that moment, you have a starting point. So you're going, suppose you're, that moment you're landed in the desert. Now you're in desert, so your path is, you know, in the desert path. And so someone else is landed in, say, in Hawaii. It's a different path. It's, so everyone is landed, so, you know. So someone becomes, you know, someone becomes someone, and, you know, like doctor, and other person becomes a construction worker. So these are those moments define that. But then the outcome, so this is what I like most about it. It's not about what am I going to become. It's about how am I going to understand that process of becoming?
Mm.
And so becoming is not important. It's that, what is the behind of that becoming? Once I see that, then it's really, that's when that moment tells me that, hey, we are all same. We are all connected. We are all part of that, the truth, you know, which we are not aware of. It's you know, this, when I say something, that mind is engaged, is my, you know, so thoughts comes in the picture, and then they actually, in my opinion, thoughts blinds us from seeing the reality. So, but I have to say, I have to communicate. But when I'm not communicating, I don't have to have thoughts in my mind. And then I'm far more open to the reality, you know, whatever you want to call it. And so it's really the part of that focusing and unfocusing. That's how we navigate through the world. You know, it's a focusing and unfocusing. Become, you know, use the thoughts when you need to communicate, and then you don't need to thought because you need to engage your senses to be open, to be receptive about what's around you. If you have thoughts already in your mind when you're receiving, you're not going to receive 100%. So that is the difference. That you understand, then you understand it really doesn't matter if I become a doctor or president or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's really what I'm doing with my life. You know, so once I see that, then that joy comes, and that comes to anybody. It doesn't have to be, you know, a certain profession or certain lifestyle. No, it can be anybody.
Well, I have to say that again, all of this is very intriguing. And I think that getting away from the whole aspect of predictions, I think if we can do that and more, take a look at, as you say, how am I going to respond, react, you know, and feel and so forth, to these conditions along the road on my path, as opposed to, as you say, you know, what am I going to be? What's going to be my purpose in life, kind of thing? Because then it keeps the intrigue to life open to an individual, saying, you know, I can be anything I want. Now, in terms of these conditions, okay, they may or may not influence what I become, but I can still become whatever it is that I want.
That's right. And actually, you can try becoming something you may not become, but then you, in the process, you find out, oh, I can see why. And so then that is that understanding, you know. So this is exactly, you know, when I say a fish cannot fly and bird cannot swim, but we don't know whether we are fish or bird until we go through those life experiences and understand.
Absolutely, absolutely. I understand what you're saying there, and again, I just find all of this just so so intriguing because of that fact. Because it and that's what we want to do. Because it keeps all of the choices open, all of the possibilities, which can be very exciting. But I think another element that sadly is missing here in the United States is the teaching, if you will, to the young people, that you have all kinds of choices, not just specific ones because you were born into a particular nationality or a particular family or economic status or political or religious status. It doesn't matter. You always have choices. I even go so far as to say that an individual who happens to be let's just say, in a nursing home, an elderly person who's maybe 80 or 90,
yeah,
still a sharp mind and so forth, and has still
Absolutely.
Has a certain level of mobility, they still have all kinds of choices.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you know, I think that's one of the things that you open up to us and for us in that regard is that possibility. And I'm very cool. And I really appreciate your sharing all of this with us and joining us here on the program. And I look forward to having you back on during 2017 to sort of give us an insight into what's coming next, if you will, in that context. Maybe getting some more specifics once we have entered into this new era, if you will, with the new president, and again, I think it's all very exciting, but I love what you've said, and I think that people need to take away, if there's nothing else you take away from this program today, regardless of which side of the aisle you are on, knowing that we're going to end up in exactly the same spot April, and again, we're speaking in a very broad term here, but knowing that we're going to end up in the same spot, point B, April 6th, no matter who is elected, I have to say that is kind of exciting, because that means that they really can't mess things up too badly.
Yes.
Contact information. How can people get a hold of you directly if they would like to get more information or even schedule a session to get a reading?
Well, they can always go to my website, which is astroinsight.com. And then there is a contact information right there, my telephone number, my email address, everything that they need. My telephone number, I can give on now if you want.
Sure, please.
281-238-8992. That's my contact number. And my email address, J, the letter J, and my last name, Maheshri, Maheshri at astroinsight.com. That's astroinsight.com.
Jagadish Maheshri, I want to thank you so much again for joining us on the program. It's been a pleasure. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. And again, we look forward to talking to you later on in 2017.
Thanks, Richard. I appreciate giving me this opportunity. I always enjoy talking with you.
You are more than welcome. I enjoy it myself. And we encourage you to go to astroinsight.com. My guest again, Jagadish Maheshri. And I thank Jagadish Maheshri for joining us. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.